Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
So you're going to dare have a cookie this afternoon? You're going to let that to Ethan and Fred?
I'm going to leave it to the boys.
Oh, man, they're good. They're really good. Very proud of them. Wiggins had one earlier. He was thrilled with it. So my baking adventure continues. I should have sent some of my cookies to Scott Jennings in Louisville, but he never opens his packages, so they would have sat there for like weeks or something like that. How are you, Jennings?
I'm fine. I do open my packages. I just wasn't there to receive the package that you sent, and I did open it when I returned to my home residence.
Well, and I have to tell you that much of that, because we included in the package for you, I sent some Cardinal stuff, and I did this as an appreciation because you do so much for me. But one of your biggest fans, and I'm not so sure she's not a stalker at this point, Jeannie Sullivan, is one of my dear friends here from Pet Supplies Plus, Jennings. And we love our dogs. You love your dogs. So Jeannie was responsible for the canine portion of the care package, and she's listening this afternoon.
Oh, man, that is so good. Well, I have to report that Elvis J. Bulldoggington did, when we opened the box, he immediately picked out his favorite toy, and he has been routinely raiding the box since it did get opened. And then he stole the Cardinals throw and slept on that. So he basically has taken over the entire thing and has just been delighted with it.
I love it. And you might remember, Sue Thomas here has bullies, too, so I sent her that picture over the weekend. It was awesome.
It made me very happy. He's so cute.
He's a good dog. He's a little mischievous, but basically a good dog.
Well, let me get your reaction to the fires. You have a place out there in California, don't you? I don't think it's in the fire zone, but good Lord, what we're seeing here the past week.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the pictures are stunning, and you know what we're learning about the local governance and decision-making out there as it relates to water resource management and forest management is pretty stunning. You know, you just wonder if in the aftermath of something like this, are the people of California going to ever say, maybe we should look a little more closely at the qualifications and ideas of the people that we're electing here. Are they competent to save us or protect us from, you know, these kinds of terrible things? I mean, obviously other states have figured this out. The best emergency manager in the country is Ron DeSantis in Florida, where, you know, being an emergency manager is important. And so voters have prioritized it there, but they obviously haven't done it in California.
Yeah, and to your point, this is one of your new BFFs. This is the owner of the LA Times, and he, you know, expressing regrets for endorsing Karen Bass.
First of all, we'll accept some blame, right? So at the LA Times, we endorse Karen Bass. I think right now up front, that's a mistake, and we admit that. So I thought it was very important early on for me to come out. And I think we were one of the few to say competence matters.
Wow. So he's kind of apologizing for that. And you know, I mentioned you in connection with this because one of the stories from late last year is you've been invited by, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name, Patrick Soon-Shiong, to be on the LA Times editorial board.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. And Patrick, I think, made a bold statement there saying that they regret doing that. And obviously, you know, she was running against the developer Caruso, who, you know, I think ran a really good campaign and was viewed as being competent. Bass was kind of the local Democrat political choice. And look what happened. You know, this fire breaks out. She's in Africa. doing nothing that is related to her job as mayor of Los Angeles. And when she gets back, has a couple of disastrous public appearances. The city was obviously not ready. I mean, you know, and it's sort of social engineering policy run amok there, as opposed to can we get the most qualified people in these emergency positions? So, you know, people are getting a real taste that elections have consequences.
Yeah.
And Bass is at the center. Even Newsom is kind of, I think, distancing himself from Bass. When Gavin Newsom is distancing himself from you, you know you've done something
wrong. Even the New York Times had a story about Karen Bass saying before taking office, L.A.'s mayor said she would not go abroad. And they went back a few years when she said, look, I'm going to focus on Los Angeles and not travel abroad. And then they've tracked her for the last year. And she's, you know, out there going to Paris a bunch of times. Now, granted, LA has the Olympics. There might be some reason for some business, but it's interesting because she certainly is getting called out, and justifiably so. What about the let me get into some politics stuff here with last week. What do you think was said between Obama and Trump at the funeral? That was very interesting, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was interesting to me because Obama, of course, was at the top of the campaign to brand Donald Trump as, you know, the new Hitler. And now they're sitting at a public event laughing together. And it just underscores for me and reminds me that they meant none of it, that it was all a very unserious campaign. And it just continues this long string of people who were, you know, a couple of months ago, Trump is Hitler. And now, hey, let's laugh with Trump. If you really thought he was Hitler, you wouldn't be joking around with him in public and laughing at his commentary. So I think it just completely guts, you know, more than it already had been, what the Democratic argument against Trump had been.
Well, you know, along those lines, here's Don Lemon being apoplectic about some of this stuff.
You have to indicate to the American people that this is not normal. Grinning with someone who has those that you have called a fascist over the last couple of years and the last months, that's not normal.
So he's kind of talking about Scarborough there as well, but it is interesting because I think you're right. They call them these names. It's sort of one of the things, and even Trump indicated this. You know, we kind of all get along. It's politics, blah, blah, blah. But even when it comes to Trump lately, and I think you've been tracking this, he continues to be on his best behavior, doesn't he, Scott?
Yeah, he's having a perfectly fine transition, and the polling I've seen indicates the American people approve of the transition. And, you know, he's doing what you would expect a president to do. And at the same time, you don't really see the same hysterical resistance to Trump that we saw when he came in the first time. And I wonder and hope if it portends that we may have a couple of years of political peace in this country. You know, we had none for 4 years under Trump. You know, Biden was sort of chaos agent despite his promises in the campaign for 4 years. Politically, I mean, I think the American people want a little bit of political peace, a little bit of normalcy. Wouldn't it be amazing if Donald Trump wound up, you know, making America normal or calm again?
I wonder how much a guy like John Fetterman might have to do with that as well, because, you know, some of the things that are developing with Fetterman are interesting to me.
Yeah, well, he's a new breed, and Trump is part of this, too, of politicians that, yes, exist in a political party, but don't always feel like they are bound to do everything in the party, everything in public life that their party wants them to do. I mean, he's obviously taken some strong views on Israel and immigration that are anathema to a lot of people in his party. And he's meeting with Donald Trump, which no other Democratic senator has done. I think the American people look at that and say, yeah, why can't these guys talk to each other? I mean, when did we stop talking to each other? So I don't know. I think this attitude is what people are craving right now, and I think Trump and Fetterman are at the forefront of it.
There was some buzz about you, obviously, in the aftermath of the election, going to, you know, be White House spokesman. Some people were rooting for you. I was not. I wanted you to, you know, stay in the role you're in right now. But I bring this up because I don't think I've asked you this. Have you had any communication with the former president, like direct?
No, I have not,
okay.
Actually. I've certainly been in touch with lots of people who are going into the White House and are around him at the moment. But no direct interactions. I'm just I just get up every day, put my pants on one leg at a time, and take on five people a night on CNN. I've been doing it for months now. That's what I do.
Well, and you're doing a great job doing it. What is going on with the Lake and Riley Act? Let me kind of go back to Fetterman. We have Wesley Bell, the new member of Congress from around here that replaced Cori Bush, voted against this in the House. There were a handful of Democrats who did. So is that why is this so difficult, you know, to Fetterman's point? Why is it so tough to pass this bill?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I ultimately think it is going to pass, and I don't think it's going to be that close. But Democrats have sort of a reflexive built-in DNA that if Republicans propose something on immigration, even if it's something quite common sense, like the Laken Riley Act, they just feel duty-bound to oppose it. This is one of the reasons they lost the election, okay? Because people believe the Democratic Party is far too permissive when it comes to illegal immigration, and they won't even accept common sense stuff like, I don't know, detaining illegal immigrants who have committed crimes while they're in the country. And so they're going to have to rid themselves of this DNA, because if they don't, and they are seen as trying to stop Donald Trump from reining in this illegal immigration crisis, they're going to continue to suffer politically for years to come.
Do you anticipate any major issues with the confirmation hearings that will begin here this week?
I think some of the nominees are going to lose a few Republican votes. Whether that derails them fully, I don't know. But yes, I think that some of them are not going to get the full complement of Republican votes. But in the case of, say, RFK or even Chavez de Remer, the labor secretary, they may end up getting some Democrat votes. And so I'm kind of closely looking at the matrix of votes that each gets for confirmation. But obviously, the ones that are the most hot button are Hegseth, RFK, and Tulsi Gabbard. And I do expect all three of them may lose a few Republicans, but they can lose three and be okay. If they lose four, then they're in trouble.
Do you have your assignment for next weekend and for Inauguration Day? You know what you're going to be doing, where you're going to be?
Yep, I'm going to D.C. this weekend. I'll be on, believe it or not, Saturday night I've been assigned to cover some fireworks display. So, you'll have that to look forward to. And then Sunday, I've got evening coverage on Sunday night. And then Monday I'll be on from 10 a.m. until the speech is over, and then we'll do some post coverage of the speech, and then I'll be back on throughout the night on Monday night. So it'll be I'm trying to decide whether to wear a tuxedo on the air to pretend like I went to an inaugural ball, even though I probably won't go to one. So we'll see.
Well, I'm off on Friday and Monday. I'm heading to Las Vegas next weekend, so I'll be watching from out on the left coast, but good luck with everything. And what's the weather forecast for you? Have you looked ahead to the weather forecast in D.C.?
I did look ahead. It's like 31, 32 and partly sunny is what my current tracking is. So no precipitation, but, a chilly 31, 32 degrees.
Hey, you guys get – I know you weren't there really, but did you get whacked with the snow that came through here or not?
Oh, yeah. It was like the biggest snow in Louisville since 1998.
Right.
We had ultimately 13 or 14 inches on the ground. It was crazy. And it's still there. It hadn't gotten that warm. So, we haven't had that much melting. So the kids missed an entire week of – school. I took them this morning on my way out of town. I took them to school, and my wife was very pleased to hear that the kids were going to school. Today.
Around here, same thing. Most kids went, I think, Sue, what, on Thursday? They finally got them back, and then it snowed, barely
Friday.
On Friday morning. But, yeah, we had the same thing. The cold temperatures has left a lot of ice out there that finally, I think, got melted this weekend. Jennings, have fun in the next week. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for that beautiful gift, Mark. The dog loves it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, his dogs. I should put that picture of the dog up online because it is adorable with the Cardinals blanket. We're coming back with more here. We got Sue's News after the top of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.